At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
You always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Jonathan Von Tobel, who was in for Paulie Howard this week. And we are live, as always, in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resorts and Casino. In this hour, we have fresh NFL draft props to go over that dropped yesterday. Real or Fugazi coming up bottom of the hour. And a hedging discussion in about 45 minutes that we will have here between the two of us as well. Yay or nay on the hedging overall. We'll begin talking NBA. The play-in games start tonight. Get a couple tomorrow night as well. We have game ones over the weekend. We have series prices. And as we talked about the Pacers and the Bucks series yesterday on the program and in the previous hour with Matt Eumanns briefly, that news popped right after our show ended yesterday, JBT, and that is Giannis Antetokounmpo was ruled doubtful for the game. The game one point spread, of course, came down. And when we were on the air yesterday to win the series, the Bucks were minus 245 and the Pacers were plus 195 still at DraftKings. Obviously, because of this news, that number has since plummeted.
Yeah, and we mentioned this as well yesterday. If you go back to the day that Giannis got hurt, Damian Lillard was asked about the injury because he had suffered the same injury. And Lillard said that it was about 2 weeks that it took him to recover from said injury. That puts you right, like, after game one, right at the start of game one for this series. And that was just a timeline that seemed pretty unrealistic that he was going to be ready. And I know a lot of people cited Giannis's weird ability to heal very well or whatever it was. I guess he can. But that's going to be tough, especially when you talk about calf injuries. I think you mentioned this yesterday. It is also a very similar calf injury that Kevin Durant tried to rush back from for the Golden State Warriors his last year there, where he eventually tore his Achilles. You don't want to rush that back because then, you risk your health of your superstar in the long term. I'm not going to be surprised if he misses the game one. And, Mitch, I know you get a long time off between games one and games two, but, like, we don't even know if he's going to be available for game two.
In your opinion, do you think regular season results matter come playoff time?
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Every single time, or because you can't really pick and choose, right?
Right, and I think you have to look at the intricacies of it, right? So if two teams play, this is smaller sample size, but like Denver and Boston, okay, I think Denver's very good. Denver beat Boston both times. Does that mean they're going to go out and sweep them, beat the crap out of the Celtics if they meet in the finals? No, but were there things that happened in those games that could totally transpire in a series when they play each other? Absolutely. So I do think you have to look at results and say, okay, how did these things transpire? Why did they transpire? And what is going to change? Because obviously, I think you're referring to, they played five games and the Bucks are 1-4 against Indiana this season.
Oh, it did not go well for Milwaukee at all.
None. But there's a little bit of a difference here, right? They didn't play before Doc Rivers was head coach. They also didn't play before Pascal Siakam was a member of the Indiana Pacers.
Right.
Those are two pretty big changes for these teams. And I think for Indiana, actually, I'll start with Milwaukee, because I think while we were crapping on Doc Rivers, and, you know, look, they haven't played well, he came in to fix their defense, and by all accounts, actually, he has. If you look at the defensive rating and their defensive rating in transition for opponents off of live rebounds, Mitch, their defensive rating overall has improved by 3.6 points from the Adrian Griffin era, we'll call it, and their transition defense has improved by 5.1 points since the Adrian Griffin era. Like, they've gotten better in that regard.
Okay, yes, they have. They were also pretty much rock bottom when Doc Rivers took over, so you almost by default had to get better. Now, has it gotten better to the point of where the total should be 234.5 compared to where the total was when they played in those five games earlier? Now, again, as you said, that was also when Tyrese Halliburton was setting the world on fire.
Yep. Well, that was, and remember, the other big change, which is it was also before they started calling these games differently. So not only do you have the change of they're not giving fouls anymore the way that they used to. Now it's playoff basketball, so they're generally going to stick by that regard. They allow them to play a little bit more. You mentioned the Tyrese Halliburton issue, and this is one of the big ones for me. For those who don't remember, Tyrese Halliburton had that really, it looked like a scary injury, actually, where he almost did like the splits against, I think it was the Celtics in a matchup. He gets injured, pulls a hamstring. Before he got injured, Tyrese Halliburton, 23.8 points, 4.2 rebounds, 12.5 assists on 49.7% shooting from the floor, 40% shooting from three. Since he's come back from that injury, 17 points per game, so essentially 7 points fewer per game, 9.4 assists. He's shooting 45% from the floor and 32% from three. That's a massive difference. And when you look at the way that Tyrese Halliburton terrorized this team, like that's the way it was in transition. He was destroying their job coverage. He was forcing you to kind of think, did we blitz him, get the ball out of his hands, whatever it is. And now, not only is he not playing at that level, the Pacers are also playing a little bit slower. They're playing more or less efficiently in transition because Pascal Siakam likes to play out of the post. He can run, but you slow it down a little bit more. You allow Siakam to do what he does. They're a little bit better defensively, but the team is different. And that's why I'm really intrigued by this series, because I will be honest, if you were to tell me right now that Giannis Antetokounmpo was going to be fully healthy for game one, not at the opening price, but the market was going to move in their direction anyway,
right.
I was going to be tempted here to look at how cheap it got with Milwaukee and play them. Because I think that there are some changes that do affect the way this series potentially plays out. They're not the same teams when they met. The last time they met was January 3rd. A lot has changed since then.
Think about that. They played five times.
Yeah.
The season starts late October, right? They played five times between then and January 3rd.
We could get 12 games again of these guys. If they go seven, think about that. 12 games.
Also, Halliburton, I don't think he was getting enough run at that point. He should have been in the MVP mix before he got hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
All those numbers you ran down, the success, the way that they controlled the pace of, and they got teams to play their style and where they were in the standings overall. He was having a remarkable season. What he meant overall to that team in terms of overall value, he had to be considered. He wasn't nearly like high enough on the list, in my opinion. And then obviously because of the injury, he goes down. Right now, DraftKings minus 170 on the Bucks.
Yeah. And that makes sense, obviously, because you don't know if Giannis is going to play. The non-Giannis minutes have not been very good for Milwaukee. Damian Lillard does not look great as a point-of-attack defender or just in general. And I do think that, you know, it is somewhat worrisome for that team. That game against Orlando, like, they needed it. They wanted to win that game. And that second, third quarter was abysmal.
How about this? I've seen people kick around this idea. Giannis has turned into too much of a ball stopper on offense. And without him on the court, this is when we're truly going to have the opportunity to get Portland Dame Lillard.
I mean, it could be.
I think that opportunity exists.
And that is kind of like the argument we talked about this on primetime last week, which is, hey, you know, without Giannis, Doc can kind of just let Damian Lillard be Damian Lillard.
Be the man.
Yes. And there's going to be some bumps and bruises, and against a really good defensive team in Orlando, when you go on the road in a must-win situation, that's kind of a tough situation to be in, right? Home court is going to be important in these kind of playoff games, but overall, allowing him to do that, and like you still have good supporting pieces. Chris Middleton's going to be healthy and should be available. Bobby Portis has always played extremely well when he is asked to start and play there. I do think you have concerns like, okay, like, do you really want to throw out Patrick Beverley as the two out there? I think Malik Beasley's probably a better option, but it looks like Beverley's earned his spot in the starting lineup potentially. But I would agree with that sentiment that there's that potential. And by the way, too, in the playoffs, when it's all about hunting mismatches and doing those sort of – Tyrese Halliburton's going to have to work on defense. And they're going to have to go after, they're going to go after him a lot. Yep. And they're going to put him in a lot of different actions. And they're going to have to decide how they're going to attack that too if they're Indiana.
So former Buck, Grayson Allen, now with the Suns. They're $1.20 against the Wolves. I want to tie that in for a second here. Are the Bucks better with Damian Lillard than they would have been by keeping Jrue Holiday and Grayson Allen?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question that the answer is like no, right? They probably keep those guys and they're better off.
The thing that they did not see coming when they made that move was Boston swooping in and getting Jrue Holiday from the Blazers.
Yes.
They did not anticipate that happening.
And Jrue Holiday just got paid, right, like last week. The guy's awesome. He's a good defender.
He's great.
He's a 40% three-point shooter this season. He's like everything you would practically need. Now, he's had some shortcomings, but
he got barbecued by Jimmy Butler in the playoffs last year.
Yep, but integral part to why you won a championship that year. And like it was the big reason why. It could go down as one of the better trades in NBA history because generally, right, when you were scared that Giannis was going to go, they're like, don't go, we'll go get Jrue Holiday. It ended up in a championship. Mm-hmm. We don't know what this one's going to end up in, but at least right now, it doesn't really look great.
I'm going to say for this year, it's going to end up in a non-championship season.
Seems likely.
At one point, they were around minus 220 not to win the Eastern Conference. I had that one dialed up in queue forever, and I never bet it, like an idiot.
By the way, to the point, too, of like what we're talking about, like does this become Damian Lillard or Portland Damian Lillard? The most used lineup that the Bucks have with Damian Lillard on the floor and Giannis off, a plus 17.5 net rating. Now, they're very much of that is tied to their defense, but it's Lillard, it's Beasley, Connaughton, Lopez, and Bobby Portis. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if you throw that out there. But to the point of putting out there with Patrick Beverley, I feel like Beasley's probably the better option, but we'll see if that's going to be the case or not.
At some point here, like this number in the T-Wolves Sun series, I think is going to become attractive enough to bet Minnesota.
Yes.
Right? Because it's still, again, you can get even money right now at DraftKings. Maybe not now, but as you let this progress and maybe get another day deep into this and or 2 days before the series starts, if you can get plus 105 or plus 110, if the number would get that high,
mm-hmm.
Isn't that a number where you'd want to be involved on the Wolves?
I would agree with that, yes. I mean, look, Phoenix has been a team that the market has just been too high on all year long. They are, and this is a good indicator of it, they have covered only 44% of their games. The market has thought this team has been something
miserable.
That it's not. Yeah. Right. And we can go back over all of the times that they've fallen flat on their face. And we were kind of expecting this. I figured that they were going to be, the price is going to be cheap for OKC if they were going to get them. And here they are, despite not having home court, despite some inconsistencies. And I get it. They've played the regular season well against Minnesota. But minus 120, I think, is pretty strong for a team that's the best defensive team in the NBA.
How about the play-in tonight? Best bet on the board would be?
I find it hard not to go with the Lakers.
I'm going to have, I agree. I have to bet the Lakers.
There's so many things that work in their favor here against New Orleans.
This whole idea of, and I heard this a lot, like everywhere yesterday, should they lose, then just that idea is, you're saying then they're automatically going to, in theory, beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying that because the Warriors are favored tonight, everybody's picking them. That doesn't automatically happen.
It's either single elimination against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors,
yeah,
or single elimination against a team that is 7-1 against you in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're picking.
It's kind of between. Tough.
Up next, NFL draft props. A lot to get into after more opening numbers hit the board yesterday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Time's running out, folks. Betting Splits access has been open for nearly 2 weeks now. Check it out now, VSiN.com/splits. That's right, no pro subscription required. So if you like the Betting Splits, it's part of the handicapping process for the day. Check it out now. You can get all the insight you need for the play-in games later tonight in the association, winding it down in the National Hockey League or Major League Baseball as well. Check it out now, VSiN.com/splits.
Give me an example. I'm looking at the betting splits tonight for the play-in games. The public, they are 6-10 ATS. In the play-in games going back. The Lakers today at DraftKings, 69% of the handle, 74% of the bets against the Pelicans.
Nice.
And the Warriors have bigger numbers than that, hence that line move in the game against the Kings. They're up to 3 now at some spots, 2.5 at DK.
Yep.
Does it go any higher?
I mean, I'm sure probably, right? By the time we get closer to tip-off, a lot of bettors come in like in the hours before tip-off and drive those things up. I think you're probably going to get Warriors across the board closing is like 3-point favorites.
I'm going to say because the public will be all over the Warriors for sure in this game, right? Yeah. At what point do the sharps buy back? Is that number certainly 3.5 they're buying back at?
I mean, you got a couple 3.5s out there already in some faraway places. Mm. I would assume they'd get snatched up pretty quickly if that was the buy point.
Same here.
So maybe the buy point's 4, right? Maybe the ceiling of this number is 4. Maybe you're
okay.
If you're toggling with these numbers right now, maybe you're trying to find that out. Maybe you bump it up to 3.5 to see when you actually get some respected action coming back the other way.
And the Lakers-Pelicans game now, again, DK has New Orleans -1. Some spots have the Lakers -1.5 out there tonight.
I think 1.5 Lakers probably be a pretty solid close. Again, I think part of the reason why you see these picks and -1s in favor of New Orleans is the questionable status of Anthony Davis. Once he's officially ruled in, I'm pretty safe in assuming that the Lakers close at the very least as 1-point favorites.
Okay. NFL draft. At DK, Joe Alt to go top 5 is +450. First non-quarterback selected is 10-1. Is there a path where that actually happens? I think it's becoming less likely by the day, but if you go first 4 picks are quarterbacks... Mm-hmm. Then I think Joe Alt could cash both those tickets. If the Chargers stay at number 5, don't trade out, I think he's going to be the guy there. But now everybody is starting to have Chargers trading out, Vikings trading up, McCarthy going 5th overall. That's what I'm seeing pretty much in most mock drafts, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this. I think it was Lance Zierlein who had tweeted this out to somebody last week. We brought this up on VSiN Primetime, that essentially... he thinks that there might be a surprise at offensive lineman #1. So obviously that surprise would be not Joe Alt.
Okay.
If that would be the case.
It would be the kid that most mocks have going #2 and basically going to the Titans, I believe, overall.
Yes.
Unless Alt drops to 7. And that would be the Titans taking him in theory.
I mean, in theory, a surprise could also be Patriots.
I'd love to see it.
Right? Offense, you're just like, look, we don't have that much going on. We don't have any talent. We need to make this roster better. We're sitting at 3. We're not getting offers we like. Joe Alt, you're ours. Let's go.
Yeah, we don't love the quarterbacks that are going to be available at #3. We can address that. We have, we did that. We brought in a new quarterback in the offseason. We can get the best offensive. What if they're super high on Joe Alt?
Mm-hmm.
They have like clear separation between him and the other offensive lineman in the draft. And they're looking ahead and saying, we know that we're going to be bad anyway. We can get a quarterback again in next year's draft.
Yeah.
That is if they don't like, let's say they're assuming it's going to go Williams 1, Daniels 2. The idea here could be, yeah, we're not as high on McCarthy as people think, and we don't like Drake May.
Yep.
So we stay here and we take Joe Alt at 3rd overall. Boy, can you imagine the reaction if that happens on draft night?
Sure. I mean, and that changes things, right? It changes things for a team like the Chargers, who might have him circled as their top overall pick.
Sure.
I laid a pretty hefty price on the Titans to have their first selection be an offensive lineman. How much does that change the math there? Because theoretically, you could have a 3rd crack at it as opposed to like the 2nd or maybe even the 1st if the Chargers do go wide receiver. That could change this entire draft, and that would be a pretty big surprise. Because then, if that happens, then you're talking about the quarterback sliding down too, right? Because if you assume, like, hey, Carolina, Washington quarterbacks, New England goes Joe Alt, Arizona wants Marvin Harrison Jr., the Chargers want whatever they want, all of a sudden you're looking at a reality where it's like, okay, now whoever the second quarter or third quarterback is, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and then, of course, J.J. McCarthy, where in the world do they end up? I think Patriots are the most fascinating. Like, I don't think I'm alone in thinking this, but like what the Patriots are at three and what they decide to do is the most fascinating point of the draft.
Yeah, I don't think you can be surprised come next Thursday if they throw people for a loop.
Right.
And do something that nobody has really had so far in mock drafts. So, Station Casinos out here in Las Vegas, they've had a prop up on Dallas Turner, his draft position. It was heavily juiced to the under 9.5 at one point. Circa opened up yesterday, Turner 9.5, the under plus 120.
Mm-hmm.
He was favored to go over 9.5. Are the Falcons going to trade? A couple things here. Will Atlanta trade out of 8? That seems like a weird spot for teams to trade into. And if they don't, aren't they going to go defensive lineman edge at that spot? And it doesn't have to be Turner. Well, what if is there a scenario where it's not Turner or Verse going 8 overall?
I don't think so, right? Because where the Falcons are, it would seem that they get the first pick of the draft in that they're going to get the first defensive player. Because if you look at the first 7 picks, it seems very likely it's going to be some version of an offensive player going in those first 7 picks.
Yeah.
Whether it's quarterback, wide receiver, or offensive line. So then you get to the Atlanta Falcons, who sit there potentially with every defensive player still on the board. We mentioned yesterday the fit with Raheem Morris and that he likes to drop his edge rushers into coverage at a higher frequency than other teams. Dallas Turner among the edge rushing prospects. I think he did double up the field in terms of snaps played in coverage as a college player. So it seems like that's a pretty good fit. They need edge help regardless. I feel like it makes too much sense. And like you said, you know, if you're Atlanta, what are you really getting? Like if you're, let's say J.J. McCarthy's still there. Are you getting both first-round picks for Minnesota to move from 11 to 8? Maybe, I guess, if they're really that desperate, if you're going to play them that well.
That'd be a bad move for Minnesota.
Right. And so, like, to your point about that kind of being a weird spot to trade out of, unless it's just like a team, like, out of nowhere, which we do see sometimes, unless Seattle's just like, now we need, you know, McCarthy's still there and we need somebody behind Geno Smith. Go get him.
Mm.
I guess, maybe, but I would think you stand pat and draft your defensive player.
Yeah, I think they're going to stay put at number 8, and I think the pick is either going to be Turner or Verse.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those two guys. I bet it that way, too, by the way.
I hope it's Latu.
No, that would be no good.
No. Yeah, that wouldn't be good for me.
I don't want that to happen.
I just need Latu inside the top 21 picks. Let's go.
Top 21, so you have under 21.5? And that was available at Stations?
Yes. Let me double check.
Florida State wide receiver Keon Coleman opened up 48.5. He shot down immediately. I think it was to around 40. And then he moved back to 46.5. The other one was Troy Franklin out of Oregon. He was hovering at 41.5, lingering there for a long time before he moved to 37.5. And they have a couple of both those Texas receivers were at 27.5 at last check.
I feel like if you could get, it'd be interesting to see what you would get for a total receivers in the second round prop, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's where this run is really going to happen. Because there's always, you have these deep positions, and one of them suffers because you feel like you can get one of them in the later rounds. Because there's so many of them. And judging by it, it does seem like it's going to be those wide receivers and where they're going to go.
Well, the thing is about with the receivers, the really good teams at the back end of the first round, they need a receiver.
Yep.
Bills need a receiver. Chiefs need a receiver. What if both of those teams punt and go something else? Then do those receivers who are supposed to go late 20s, early 30s, they're on the board for the bad teams coming up in the first part of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to take them or do they go somewhere else as well? And then those receivers start to drift out a little bit.
Sure.
And if they are there, then does a team like the Chiefs or Buffalo, do they trade back in to the top of the second round and take somebody that's still on the board? And not give up as much as they would have to move up in the first round, in theory.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could totally be a possibility. You know, some of the guys, too, projected at the back end of the four. I think one of the more fascinating guys, too, is we saw Ladd McConkey, first round, go from, 3-1 to about, plus 150.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people have made the comparison, or the fit that he works perfectly with Shanahan over there in San Francisco, and that he would be awesome for that offense. Does he sneak into the first round, or is he going to be one of these, you know, top end second round picks for any of these teams? And of course, the teams that draft their quarterbacks, you always like to go quarterback wide receiver combo and give those two time to grow together in terms of their career.
And I believe that his draft position here at Circa dropped yesterday as well.
McConkey?
From the opening number to, I think, mid-30s is where he got to.
Makes sense.
The other one, again, Marvin Harrison, his draft position is 4.5 under minus $4.
So is he getting drafted by the Cardinals? Yes, minus
$400. That's basically the yes-no. He's going to go four, right?
I mean, that's another one, too. What if New England's like, no, we need talent?
Well, that's another way to throw the draft for a loop a little bit.
Yep.
Because if they don't take quarterback and they go Harrison, then I think the Cardinals, is it going to be neighbors at four? Or do they do whatever they can to trade back?
I mean, I think guys like Matt would love that, right? Because if you take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 3, I think Arizona's taking all calls.
Oh, 100% they
right?
are at that point. The phone's not going to stop ringing. Up next, real or fugazi. Forget upset. It's a major disappointment if this doesn't happen next month. Let's follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard are here to make you a friend of ours.
That would mean you were made, guy.
Investigating what is and isn't legit.
Because that's a fugazi. All right? That's a fugazi. We looked at it for 2 seconds.
Seeing through the lines to make you a better better.
I know you know. And I know you know I know you know.
The FTM Army is being sent for.
In our thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does.
These two wise guys would never steer you wrong.
Forget about it.
This is Real or Fugazi on Follow the Money.
Yeah, Mitch Moss, along with Jonathan Von Tobel here. He's in this week for Pauly Howard. You were born when? What year?
1990.
Donnie Brasco was made in 1997.
Okay, I can watch it. Okay.
So you've never heard of it, is my guess?
No, no shot. Nothing. Donnie Brasco?
In my opinion, the most underrated mob movie of all time. It's never talked about when people get into that conversation of best mafia movies. On X, let JVT know how badly he needs to watch this movie. He's at me, JVT.
I'm down to watch it.
Johnny Depp is incredible. Pacino's fantastic. That's fugazi. Forget about, you know, all of that. So that's where that movie is, I don't know, somehow it's. I've watched it probably 10 times in every single, it's based on a true story.
For audience, too, I'm very anti-watching movies that came out before the year I was born. So production value is just garbage.
You have to appreciate it for what it was like back then.
Terrible.
Okay, all right. If under 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round is a losing bet, it's because of Michael Penix and not Bo Nix. Is that real or fugazi?
That's real. I don't think Nix is the better quarterback. Penix is the better quarterback. And if I were to lose under 4.5 quarterbacks, I would prefer that it is Michael Penix who sneaks into the first round.
Are you almost saying that you're okay with it? Losing to Michael Penix.
Yes. If I lose because Bo Nix went in the first round and not Michael Penix, no. No shot.
How about this idea? So you bet the under at a nice plus price. Are you thinking about maybe getting off of that a little bit by adding Penix to go in the first round as kind of a safety net? Because you can, they're both plus money and you're not going to get, I mean, you can't win both bets, obviously, but.
I could. I'm also very greedy and think that I'm right. And so I might just roll with this thing.
Hedging discussion coming up in about 12 minutes, by the way. Judging a college quarterback's level of success in the NFL is not an easy way to make a living. Is that real or fugazi?
Oh, that's real. I mean, you look at it. So Bucky Brooks had an awesome tweet about like a month ago of the, I think it's like the last 3 seasons, but of like the last 19 quarterbacks drafted, only 2 are expected to start week 1 this coming season. Like that's how hard this is in terms of evaluating some of these quarterbacks and developing.
Yeah, I actually lean towards being negative about their futures.
100%.
Just because I've been around now and watched this thing for so long. In fact, I retweeted a video yesterday. It was Cold Takes. What is it called?
Freezing Cold Takes.
Freezing Cold Takes on X. They did a compilation of some of the NFL draft. What was basically a montage of hot takes and opinions on ESPN and other networks over the years. And how just severely wrong they were on these quarterbacks. But, I mean, some guys are going to be really good. Other guys are not. I would actually say that the miss percentage is much higher on these guys than the hit percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, like, coming out, I used to have a strong opinion on all these guys one way or the other. Now, if I have a strong opinion, it's going to be on a guy can't play. Not that a guy's going to be unbelievable, because I've seen it happen too often, where these can't-miss prospects are rarely ever can't-miss.
Yeah.
You know, how many guys have lived up to the hype?
It happens all of the time with every single one of these guys. And that's why I do think, too, we're starting to see this shift a little bit, where it's like, I don't need to spend that first-round pick and try to capture this if I don't have the first overall selection.
Right.
Let me try to go, we'll have a second round. Let me try to go and grab these guys a little bit later. And if they develop, they develop. But if they don't, I at least drafted a stud edge rusher or an offensive lineman or a guy who's going to be there past his first contract that will help me out here.
And it's much, much easier to move on from a third, fourth, fifth round pick at quarterback.
Yeah.
Than it is if you take him number one overall, top five, top 10, wherever that might be in the first round.
And it goes back to, so I know a lot of people like the whole thought of, hey, extra year of control. It's hard to leave your team regardless. If you're a guy who's a quarterback who's going to be a signal caller, that's the franchise guy, you're going to get your contract regardless of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They can slap a franchise tag or whatever it is. So I don't think that that's that attractive of a caveat for the first round. If I get a guy, I'm going to sign him. I'm going to give him his money. It doesn't matter.
Right. Like, would I be stunned if Caleb Williams is a flop? Yeah, I will be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But is he, you know, expected to go in there and play like Andrew Luck did when he was a prospect that was going to be can't miss, or a Peyton Manning? Those are pretty lofty expectations and a very high level for him to reach.
Yep.
And on the flip side, will I be surprised if Daniels, May, McCarthy, and don't work out? Not at all. In fact, I would expect it and lean that way, that they're not going to be able to translate to the NFL level. Again, because so many guys have come out with, look at what they did in college. They were unbelievable at that level. Power 5 conference, did it for 3 years, and then could all of this stuff. J.J. McCarthy might turn out to be a really good pro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced the people who are in his corner and fighting that fight, screaming and yelling from the mountaintop, say he's got to go number two overall, or he's the best quarterback in this class, they want to be I told you so guy more than anything else.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I've been there since the beginning. I knew. I told you. I always feel like, too, when part of your cell is, hey, he was really good in high school. It's a little
great,
right?
Terrific.
It's like one of those, like, you know, how is he as a player? It's like, he's a really nice guy.
Yep.
Like, well, that's like, not what I'm asking.
They're trying to extrapolate small moments in time from McCarthy as the quarterback in a run-heavy offense in a situation, maybe even against bad teams in the Big Ten. Look at this play on third down and 11 where McCarthy noticed the heat coming and he scrambled out and he made this throw. That's great. It happened a handful of times in the college level. Does that mean he's going to be a franchise quarterback for 10 years in the NFL?
Not necessarily.
Big leap, in my opinion.
I also watched him almost give away the game against Maryland.
No kidding. Yeah. It's a major disappointment if the Boston Celtics do not win the Eastern Conference, real or fugazi.
Oh, real. I like their win total, or their loss total should be 3.5. And again, this is specifically Eastern Conference. This thing is setting up for them so nicely. Giannis is injured. They could get eliminated by the Indiana Pacers. Sure, maybe you get, I think, the heavyweight matchup. If the 76ers lose this game, win the 8 seed, Joel Embiid could go nuts. But the way this thing is setting up for them, it is, dude, you know, ask or get off the pot. Like, this is the time. You better not mess around. The fact that you were down 3-0 last year to Miami Heat was unacceptable. Because you saw what happened to them in the finals. You need to get this done now this year. You're better. You have Drew Holiday. You have Kristaps Porzingis. The Eastern Conference around you, low-key kind of stinks. This thing, you better make this thing out. Absolutely.
On paper, numbers-wise, they are the 2017 Warriors.
Yes.
And it has to show out on the court this year. And if it doesn't, if they do not come out of the Eastern Conference, what does that mean for Missoula moving forward? And then what, they're going to sign Jason Tatum and give him more than 300? They're going to have $600 million tied into Tatum and Jaylen Brown?
Just gave Drew Holiday a contract.
Yeah, tons of money.
Yep. No, I agree. Like, this would be a massive disappointment if they don't make this thing out.
Oh, it's beyond upset.
Yes. Like, no, and they can, but that's part of the problem. And I wrote about this in the NBA Primer, which, by the way, you can check it out at VSiN.com. You know, one of the big things for them is the last 2 years, you in the postseason, you have had an extremely negative net rating in clutch time. You have not been able to operate in the postseason in these games that are within 5 points.
Yeah.
That's got to change. You've got to stop just taking the gun and just boom, just shooting yourself in the foot over and over and over again. Those things can't happen. With the improvements, it shouldn't. But like, that's kind of why this has also been so disappointing. It's not like they've run into these buzzsaws, like these great teams.
No.
No, they've run into themselves. Like, that cannot happen anymore.
They go into hero ball.
Yep.
In clutch time. It's the exact opposite of what makes the team brilliant on offense.
Yep.
I got to get a Fugazi in here at some point. Maybe this will be the one. People bashing OKC. And by the way, there was plenty of it yesterday and on Sunday night. Clearly did not watch them play this year. Real or Fugazi?
Clearly did not play. So my answer, if I were to say Fugazi, what I'm saying that those people bashing them are right?
Yes.
So no, that's real then.
That's real? I can't get a Fugazi? Okay, all right.
Well, right? I mean, that means you didn't watch. Who was bashing? Yep.
Oh, it was up and down. Oh, it was
like
everywhere.
They got no shot?
I'm listening to national radio yesterday outside of VSIN. I'm watching stuff on TV. It's just like people are going to be so disappointed in OKC.
Yeah. I mean, this goes to the point where this is about the time where a lot of people just kind of check in, swoop in.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? But no, if you didn't watch, they were incredible. No. I got what you got. I'll give you a Fugazi at some point. What are we doing?
I got one more dialed up for you. Suns and Kings passing on Luka in the 2018 NBA draft, followed by the Hawks trading him for Trae Young, isn't quite Portland taking Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, but it's pretty damn close.
No, Fugazi, it's worse.
It's worse?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Look at that. Dude, you had your hands on him. He was there.
You had him. And by the way, Sam Bowie was thought of as, you know, he was hurt because of the injuries obviously derailed him.
Dude, the Suns had his coach.
Also, I will say, Bobby Knight, though, in 1984, called Michael Jordan the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And he was in college. Maybe they should listen to the general.
Suns hired his coach and then went drafted.
Yes, that's a disaster.
And then drafted DeAndre Ayton.
All right, it's something we're asked about all the time. It's something we've discussed quite often on the show. I think you need to pick a street. You either do it all the time or basically never. That's coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSIN, and new customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
This is maybe the question we get more often than any other one. On this show anyway, and maybe the network overall, I can't speak for every other show, but it is basically, how do I hedge? How do I make money on this ticket? When do I hop in? When do I go the other way? We've talked about it a lot on this show. I think you have to pick a street, JVT, right? You have to decide and make a decision whether you're going to hedge at all. Mm-hmm. And that decision is, I'm going to do it almost every single time, or I'm not going to do it at all. And I know Nigel Seeley has been on this show many times, and he says hedging is for gardeners. He doesn't do it. He doesn't want to give away any edge that he thinks that he might have or any potential profit that he has on a ticket. And I respect that. And I think a lot of other pro bettors would say the same exact thing.
Yeah, I'm obviously not a pro bettor, but I go that route. I tend not to hedge more often than not. I mean, now, there are times where I regret it. There was the year I had the Celtics at 60-1 to win the NBA Finals, and they made it there and looked like they were going to go up 3-1, and they ultimately did not. But I tend to kind of hold on to it and ride that thing out, because to that point, you know, you should have made that bet for a reason, right? You should have made the bet because you believed
right.
You had an edge there, that the probability of that event happening was higher than the number that you have. And if you're in a position to even think about it, then you were obviously right. So I don't think that you should go into that and just say, yeah, I'm going to cut into this thing. I say more often than not, I hold on to it. The World Series last year, I was a coward. I had the Rangers at 20-1 to win the World Series. And I took a little bit off of that because I was like, oh, I don't know. And because, you know, you're like, hey, you know, this Rangers team, it's unsustainable. And then sure enough, they end up going winning it, and I cut into a profit that I could have had.
Sure.
So
I also don't think that if you decide to hedge, you can't just pick and choose, because then you can absolutely kill yourself and your bankroll, because then you're going to, what happens if you decide one day you have a ticket on a future that you want to hedge on, and you do hedge, and that hedge costs you money, cuts into your profit, and your original bet won, and then next day you have another future and you don't hedge and it doesn't, then you're like, well, why did I not do it? I'll give you an example. And it happened to me this past weekend. So I was sitting on that UConn to win the national title, Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters ticket at 44-1. I was also at the same time sitting on a couple of different tickets on the Suns to make the play-in, straight and parlay. So I hedged both. This is how I did it. I took the no on Scottie Scheffler Saturday morning here at Circa at minus 135 for a little bit less than a third of my potential winnings there on the Masters bet. I also, on Sunday, did a couple of parlays on Lakers money line and Phoenix money line, because if the Lakers beat the Pelicans and the Suns beat the Timberwolves, then the Suns would make the playoffs and not the play-in, and I'd lose those bets. I hedged both. And you know what? If I didn't hedge either one of them, I would have made the same money I did by hedging both.
Right.
So if I would have hedged only the Scheffler bet and not the Suns bet, that would have been a dumb decision, because I would have given away all of that money that I won on Scheffler, or a third of it anyway, and not gotten anything back on the Suns making the play-in. So I hedged both, and it basically paid the same as me hitting the Scheffler thing.
Yeah.
But so that worked out, actually. It also would have worked out had I not hedged for 1 second.
Right.
Also, a common narrative that we're going to hear from people, and this is Scott, who is very good in the Survivor. He's been on the network many times. Scott Seahawk Sanders, I believe he is on X, if I recall correctly. He said that he made the decision about last year, because he was always like, no, I'm not going to hedge. I'm not going to get off. And then what do I do? You can't pick your street as well. He's, where are you at mentally? Are you okay going to bed at night, knowing that you potentially did not profit on your ticket?
Right.
And so he's gotten into hedging a little bit more over the years.
Well, and that's also part of the thing too, right? Is like, if it's a life, that's what we always hear, right? If it's a life-changing amount of money. A
lot of money, yeah.
Like, then hedging, I think, is something that is worth it. If it's a really good hit, but it's not going to change in regards of that outcome for you, right? Like, your lifestyle is not going to change, then I think you're perfectly fine letting that ride. I also think it's very dangerous to, you get a lot of the instances where people get really hungry, like they want to hedge like as soon as they possibly can. And it's twofold. It's one, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you think you're hedging, but you're actually, so for example, right, we were talking about the under the quarterbacks, okay?
Right.
So I've got under at a good price at plus 260. I got that right, at least in terms of the market. I moved in that direction. So we brought up the fact like, oh, well, do you bet Michael Penix then to go in the, you know, under his draft position prop? You could, but guess what? Bo Nix goes in the first round, Michael Penix doesn't, and I lose both.
Then you're screwed.
That's not even a hedge,
right? That's exactly right.
And so that's kind of the thing, too, which is not trying to work yourself into such a bind where you're trying so hard that you're going to put yourself in a position where it's not even truly a hedge. Like, and you have to be in a position where you can actually take something off of it realistically, where you're actually going to get money out of it.
That's right. Another example here would be for the NBA playoffs. And I talked about this last June when I said the team that I got to be on this year for a future ticket was OKC, right? Mm-hmm. And they were as high as 60-1 to win the Western Conference. I grabbed a little bit of that. I also have them at 80-1 to win the NBA title. So people were asking me about hedging already. I'm not hedging already.
You can't.
First round. There's no way. You can personally if you would like. Me, there's no way I'm going to hedge that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to hedge in the first round. If they win that, then I got to hedge in the second round. And they win that, then I got to hedge. That's three hedges then?
And depending on the percentage that you take, right?
We're getting crazy at that point.
You're talking about taking away potentially 60% of your ticket by the time you get to the event.
That's exactly right.
In which it could cash. It's the same thing like with me. I've got Minnesota 30-1 to win the Western Conference. Yeah, I don't like this matchup against Phoenix. This is not the time to do that if you wanted to do it. At the very least, you would do it like the round prior, right? If you're really thinking about doing that, you could buy off like a little bit in the semifinal, and then you've got the final if they make it and see what happens. The other instance, too, of course, we're talking about this just binary, do you hedge or do you not? Are you sitting on it? Like for Minnesota, for example, there's a reality in which they get to a Western Conference Finals, but they're still the underdog. And so what do you do there when you're talking about what the price could potentially be?
Mm-hmm.
Are they all those sort of things are definitely worth it, which is why people like to recommend like those certain things, you know, instead of betting at this point right now, hey, I'm going to bet the Timberwolves now and then I can hedge off of it later. First off, you don't bet something just so you can hedge it later. The second is at this point, it's why you do these rollovers, right? Because if you're not in on Minnesota, you bet them to win this series, you bet them to win the next, then you can just pull out. Just be like, no, I'm done.
Yep.
I don't want to do it now.
Another example would be what we recently watched in college basketball, the men and the women.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a ticket on the Iowa women at like 13-1 from the season to win the whole thing, or if you had Purdue, I know Wes Reynolds here at VSiN had Purdue in the summertime at 14-1 to win. What do you do? I was a huge dog in the title game against South Carolina. And then UConn was a massive favorite over Purdue in the championship game. Unless you were betting those specific teams earlier on to win the title, right? Like if you bet South Carolina before the tournament started around -150-ish to win the title, to bet them on the money line day of, and if you lose that bet, then you're giving away potentially a ton of your profits that you would have won with Iowa, or the same thing with Purdue against UConn.
There's also different ways to do it in those instances. You let it ride into the game, and then in-game you find an opportunity to get out of it, which you can potentially do. But again, I think it goes back to
you also might be you might that the way it went, it would have worked out, but UConn also could have led 18-4, and you're screwed.
Right. Yep. And like for me, like that's why it goes back to what we talked about. Or you just, you let it ride.
Let it ride. Yeah. I know people want to lock in. Mike Palm, he says it best, though, by monetizing the ticket.
Yeah.
And you can do that. Well, I mean, if OKC, for me, gets to the Western Conference Finals, I'm going to be hedging off a little bit, probably.
Yeah.
But depends on the matchup.
Let it ride, baby. Timberwolves are winning the West anyway. Well, so are the Clippers, so I'm going to have to figure that out.
This is from Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor. He just wrote up for the website recently, grabbing a piece of Central Florida to win the College World Series.
Okay.
There was a national book that had them at 200-1. That was a bad number, in his opinion. He thought that they were going to move. They did. It was down to 66-1. He made the bet, not thinking that Central Florida was going to win the College World Series, although they could host a regional potentially. He made the bet knowing the cash out offer was going to be available, and he cashed out, earning 75% of his original ticket, or the ROI.
Yeah.
He also did that with, what was the cash out here? Oh, Cam Smith Sunday morning, 100-1, to win the Masters. He teed off early compared to the leaders. My thought was, if he gets hot, I can cash out. He did. I got back 100% of what I originally bet.
Okay.
So there's that idea of making a bet. It's like day trading, basically, in his opinion.
Right. And then, obviously, some shops have those cash-out options. Out here, it's not as plentiful.
No, that's what I don't understand. I'm curious, like, in other jurisdictions, do you get the cash-out offer on everything? Because here, they pick and choose what they want to give you a cash-out offer on.
Right. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I almost lost bets given because I accidentally cashed out on something. That's the tricky part. They didn't give me are you sure?
Oh, you just hit
it.
I
just accidentally hit it. And it was like, all right, cool, there you go. And
you said you're done?
The game didn't even start.
Oh.
It would have hit too.
Up next, Raheem Palmer is going to join the show. He loves the NBA. He loves to fire on it even more. We'll get his thoughts on the play-in numbers and first round series prices coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.